The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know those insufferable lists of "this is fascism" that you get from leftists in an attempt to stigmatize conservatism or patriotism, or anything that actually would prevent you from wanting to rush headlong into communism? Well, a new one of those has just dropped.
Great. You know how to spoil me, Cole.
I love these, because the thing is, right, fascism is actually not as opaque and mysterious as people make out. There are books written by fascists that you can read that will explain fascism to you in the way that they think. Hmm. And these leftists clearly have read none of them and act as if it's like, right, okay, fascism's this weird thing that we have to try and identify parts of.
It's the UN's definition of woman. Timeless, yes. Formless, yeah. The world.
Exactly. And so we have to study like what they've done. And it's like, no, we can just listen to their words and actually take them at face value. Like, I don't believe that the fascists are actually lying when they tell us, "We worship the state. Mm. We want everything to be within the state. The state is the god that lives within us all and controls everything that we do."
But first, let me consult my tea leaves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, it's nonsense, but I don't disbelieve the fascists when they tell me that's what they see of the world. And so if you want to know more, go and check out our latest book club, which is me talking about Giovanni Gentili's Origin and Doctrine of Fascism. Giovanni Gentili was the philosopher of fascism, and he makes it just excessively clear that fascism is an outgrowth of socialism. Where liberalism and socialism failed, he feels that fascism will succeed. And so he's taking on that tradition and just going to a logical end point. And so to the conservative, who of course, or the traditionist who stands outside of this entire tradition, watching communists essentially trying to say that fascism is right-wing or conservative or something like that, it's just nonsense. It is the final form of leftism. That's what fascism is, as I explain in this thing. But anyway, let's go on to talk about this. So we've got Umberto Eco's famous 14 warning signs of fascism. You can scroll down on this just a little bit, just so you can see them. You can go down a little bit more. There's a list. There we go, right? What you'll notice here, right, is all of these things are outside of fascism and looking in. Right. So it's a cult for action, of action for action's sake. It's like, well, no, actually it's not. If you read the fascists, it's not for action's sake. It's to ensure that intellectualism and practice are not divorced from one another. Now, you know, whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't matter. They actually have a reason for it. And so this is why fascists consider themselves to be anti-intellectual, because Gentili particularly thought intellectualism was a divorce of the intellect from the productive capacity of an action. And so what's the point? You're just stewing in your own reasonings.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yes. Yeah. And so he actually adopts the Marxist and Searleian view of praxis.
Yeah.
And so when you hear leftists going, oh, we need praxis, well, that's literally Gentili's formulation, or Searle's formulation.
The really frustrating one is, of course, number one, because you've done your video on the progressive skin suit. I love the analogy. But traditionalism and fascism wears the veneer of tradition. But when you have a fundamental transformation of the country away from the precepts, particularly in America and Britain, for example, that are antithetical to this kind of... we're communitarian, but we're not collectivist.
Sure.
You can't call it traditionalism. You cannot have American fascism. You cannot have British fascism and retain the patriotism that it wears the skin suit of. So
there is just... just to hammer this home, right? The exact quote from Gentili is, "The fascist state is a revolutionary state."
Yeah, and this is why, as in Stirnhill's book that you've covered as well, this is why they exalted the Paris communes. That's why it's germinated there. And that's why it's the bastard sister of socialism, because Marx and Engels both praised the Paris communes as a perfect example of Marxism in action.
And that's why every socialist, whenever they gain control of the country, they treat the country like an occupied territory. Mm. You know, they don't have any respect for the existing structures and society that they've conquered. They then start just reorganizing, destroying it, you know, building new things. It's like, okay, but this isn't a tradition. This is a conquering army that has come from within its own civilization.
That's why your Witten speech was so good, because socialism and fascism are both wars on the indigenous peoples.
Yeah, they are. Mm. They absolutely are. But as you can see, like, all of this stuff is from the outside. This is like an alien has come down and been like, oh, well, rejection of analytical criticism. It's like, no, they actually don't. They actually embrace the criticism because, of course, that allows them to engage in their revolution. Rejection of diversity. That's not true at all. Like, you can't reject diversity in Italy, for example. Like, Italy is not a monoracial state.
No, there's the old joke of, if you look into a Sicilian's genealogy, there's a Moor hiding behind the woodshed of your ancestry somewhere.
Yes, without a doubt. And the fascists, of course, never talk about things like diversity, because the fascist sees every individual within the state as a component of the state, and they are the people who ended up coining, Gentili particularly, said that politics infuses everything, as in the personal is political, as in there's nothing outside the state, nothing against the state, however Mussolini formulated it. And so this sort of way of approaching fascism is just totally wrong-headed. And so when we see the latest version has dropped from Jason Stanley. Jason Stanley is an American philosopher and professor of philosophy at Yale University.
So we can immediately discount what he says.
Absolutely. And it's actually, I mean, he's best known, as they say, for his contributions to the philosophy of language and epistemology. So not political philosophy then. So don't know what he's doing outside of his field.
Yeah, so he's basically a postmodern subversive that manipulates language.
Maybe. The philosophy of language is important, and I have actually studied it myself, and obviously epistemology is important. So,
but if he uses words wrong in this context, I'm not going to...
It's not even that he uses the words wrong. I mean, I think he does, actually, when you say it. He does use the words wrong. But what it is he's trapped within the revolutionary mindset that leads on to fascism, where they're trying to establish a kind of year zero, always present in the now, like eternal and ever-expanding set of rights.
End of history,
yeah, exactly. That's what they're aiming at. And so it's just peculiar how someone like this can produce his manifesto against fascism. He's got the 10 pillars of fascism. We'll go to the next one, John. He posted this, how fascism works. And it's like, okay, like, fascism will literally do whatever is practicable to get to a particular end goal. And so why not just read about the end goal and suddenly everything from that flows, rather than looking at what they did and then trying to divine their goal mysteriously. But the thing is, and again, like all very left-wing neo-lib sort of analyses of anything, you may as well just say you don't understand, and you may as well just say conservatism is fascism, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't understand conservatism or fascism. Right. Number one, the mythic past. We descend, and I love the we. Ah, right. Okay. So now we're stigmatizing the concept of groups.
There is no such thing as society.
There's no exactly. That's why I said neo-lib.
Yep.
Like literally, there's no such thing as society, is there? There's no we. Like, we the people, oh, there's a we here, there's a we in the American Republic, there's no such thing. There's no American Republic, there's no we the people.
But there's also, and it's the same thing with the accusation of patriarchal in there.
Yeah.
It's the idea that we're all atomized individuals, but also neoliberalism says there are a set number of material tenets which we all share as a common interest.
Yeah.
So we are collectively all moving towards the same goal of upgrading our material conditions, but oh no, we can't be defined as a collective, even though we're basically meat robots who want pleasure satiation.
Yes. And so anyway, he says, we descend from a glorious patriarchal past. They threaten that legacy. I mean, for a start, right? There are lots of people who don't descend from a glorious past, but and like the Italians being the first. just teasing.
Arrivederci.
But they threaten that legacy. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, if they are the Soviet Union coming to invade your country, yeah, they threaten that legacy. Like, the fact that you can distinguish between one group and another group does not a fascist make. And it's, you know, like, this is essentially saying, well, the more history you have, the more fascister you are.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, that's not how it works.
Can I make a small point about patriarchy as well?
Oh, yeah,
one
please.
Which got me banned from a talk TV show by making at one point as well. The idea of patriarchy is the same as the neolib saying we're all motivated by the upgraded material conditions.
Mm.
The idea that there's this pan-continental conspiracy for male-dominated societies, which predates you know, our discovery of the Rosetta Stone, which allows us to communicate with each other, or things like telephones, means that it's either so astoundingly historically ignorant an analysis that it's impossible, or that if every civilization across the world before they even knew each other came to that conclusion, it must be biologically rooted. So you're either a patriarchal race realist, or it didn't bloody exist.
Well, I mean, just they call everything patriarchy anyway. So the entire past, as far as they're concerned, is patriarchal. So talking about any amount of past is patriarchy.
Yeah.
But also the mythic past. I mean, like, almost all history is in some way mythical. Like, it's, you don't even have consensus on events that happened a few decades ago, like 9/11, you know, let alone events that happened 1,000 years ago.
We don't have consensus mythical on what happened yesterday, thanks to the fact checkers. So God knows what it's going to be like in 10 years when we're looking back on the Trump and Biden presidencies, for
exactly
example.
Anyway, let's go on to number two, propaganda. Ah, yes. The language of ideals takes on corrupted opposite meanings. Just the absolute bloody irony of this. Corrupt politicians run anti-corruption campaigns. Freedom of speech, it claims, are used to suppress speech. So, oh, we're in favour of freedom of speech now, are we?
Let's talk more about those evil MAGA Republicans, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about Silicon Valley deplatforming Trump under the guise of their First Amendment rights.
Mm, let's talk about Zelensky, bastion of democracy.
Yeah. And the irony of this as well, like, you know, the corrupted opposite meanings. It's like, that's really interesting, because the left have debauched their understanding of language to the point where now they embrace vices as virtues. Mm. They say, oh, actually, gluttony is good, pride is good. All of these things that you thought were virtues, like self-restraint, modesty, decency, now these are forms of oppression.
Yeah.
You know, it's I mean, I suppose what I should be saying, really, is he's right, and this is proof that fascism is left-wing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, they both, communism and fascism spring from the same hotbed of nihilism that you see in Democrat cities, for example. People were in a pressure cooker of crime and degeneracy, and either the entire civilization collapses or it falls into a cycle of totalitarianism.
Yeah.
And so they spring from the same awful soil.
I mean, what future do people in these cities have? Like in Chicago, what sort of future are they looking at?
Either a very short Detroit. One or fleeing to West Virginia.
Exactly. Anyway, let's go on to number three. Anti-intellectual. Universities are branded incubators of liberalism, Marxism, and feminism. God forbid.
Show me the lie.
Yeah, God forbid. Fascism is pointing out what's happening in that university. Expertise no longer has any value. Now, this is, as I explained a minute ago, is not what the fascists called anti-intellectualism. They wanted intellectualism to be married to practice. But again, how is this wrong? Like, if we go, there are plenty of surveys that have been done on this, such as the Mises Institute did one on 12,372 professors, and for party registration, they found a Democrat to Republican ratio of 8.5-1.
Yeah.
So that's massive, right? But when it came to donors, it was a donation to Democrats to Republicans of 95-1. So this is, you know, you can say, oh, I'm a registered Republican. Okay, but where are you putting your money?
The Lincoln Project.
Exactly. Exactly. Right, and it's just, right, they found 22 Republican donors out compared to 2,081 Democrat donors out of the 12,000 professors. So a lot of them obviously don't donate, but out of the ones that do, only 22 donated to Republicans. So, oh yeah, the hotbed of Marxism and liberalism and feminism. It's like, yes.
Yeah,
and obviously.
That also produces indoctrinated students, because even students who are not dogmatically left-wing going in, because you are that which you continually do, if you keep your head down and just get the grades you wanted, unlike me, who was a bit of a loudmouth and got penalised accordingly, then you'll come out at least incorporating some of these ideas into your authentic personality, because it's just easier to lean on what you know.
Yeah. And yeah, they just become unchallenged presuppositions in your worldview, unless you are like Connor, and you go full radical against them.
I did get marked down for anti-feminist sentiment once. Direct quote. I'm doing my part.
Yeah. Next is unreality. Again, this is just remarkable. And more proof that I think that fascism is in fact a left-wing movement. Facts are debased, and without a common understanding of reality, reasoned debate becomes impossible.
Let's talk more about how trans women are women.
Yeah, let's define a woman next, Jason, shall we? Like, what do you... Facts are amazing. Amazing. You know, let's talk about... What's the definition of a recession? Oh, I can't tell because Wikipedia has redefined it 12 times in the last 5 minutes. Like, I mean, frankly, okay, I agree. Fascism is a left-wing movement and the left is acting like fascists. I agree with you, Jason. You know, completely agree. Unlikely that you would come out and condemn the political milieu that you live in quite so harshly. But here we are. Anyway, next one is hierarchy. And I love this description. Right, hierarchy, as Jordan Peterson correctly points out, predates the tree.
Yeah.
So it just is. I remember watching a Vice News like expose on Antifa, where they were allowed to go into the Antifa commune, and the women in the Antifa commune were complaining that there was a hierarchy in the commune. It's like, look, if even they can't get rid of hierarchy, I think we're just going to have to live with it. Right?
They were making the Molotov cocktails while the men were throwing them.
That was right. Yeah.
Suddenly Antifa's based. Yeah. Also, we're against hierarchy. Now let me talk to you about the dictatorship of the proletariat.
Oh, God. And just... They without a doubt have a moral hierarchy. I mean, they put fascism at the bottom of a moral hierarchy. You know, they believe in hierarchy. They just don't want to admit it. But this is great. Fascist politicians attempt to prove natural divisions between us and them. Oh yeah, natural divisions. Yeah, cats and dogs are the same thing. There's no natural division between an animal.
Fascism
or a group of
foxes.
People.
Yeah.
You know, French people and Spanish people are just the same. You know, like, so Chinese people and South American people, what's the difference?
But that is true about the neoliberal universality.
It is.
Because we saw when Liz Truss, for example, was increased immigration, everyone's going, oh, graph go up, makes more good. Meanwhile, Leicester is on fire. Yeah. But it's this complete apathy to cultural compatibilities.
Yeah, why doesn't Jason just go down to Leicester and explain to the Muslims and Hindus that actually it's just a fascist distinction between us and them that's causing the riots? Mm. You know, there's no difference between you guys. What are you talking about?
Let me talk to you about Earth fascism. Why are you chasing me?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm pro-diversity. Like, if there's no difference between us and them, there is no diversity. Don't know why you can... Again, moving on. Victimhood. Just the irony that someone on the left would be like, yeah, so those fascists are always talking about victimhood. It's like, just that's your entire political formulation, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, that's the oppression. Everyone's being oppressed by the cis-hetero white patriarchy.
Also, any gains for minorities, them, are a loss for, quote, us. Well, I'm glad that they concede that they operate off the socialist fixed pie economics then.
But also, it's interesting how the minorities are them and then us is just left undefined. Mm. Well, who's us? Is us the majoritarian society? Because, I mean, like, if we look at, for example, the amount of social welfare that's given out,
yes,
it is actually disproportionate to the minorities and disproportionately paid into by the majoritarian society.
Mm.
So, I mean, again, I'm not saying I'm a victim because of that, although I would like to pay fewer taxes and have less of my money given as Gibbs. But that is true.
Mm.
Like, that is another true statement that apparently fascism is observing reality accurately, according to Jason Stanley. Don't know why you're bolstering fascism's reputation like this, Jason. You fool. Anyway, the next one is law and order. Oh, yes, you're a fascist if you want law and order. They are criminals, lawless by nature and in need of policing. Hitler was radicalized by the FBI crime statistics.
But it's also like they are criminals. Yeah, the they in there is criminals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I have videos of them stealing from Walgreens and cutting each other up with machetes.
Looking at the riots in America and the sort of flash mob looting, and it's like, sorry, it's urban minorities.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to confuse a British Sikh with a gangbanger, shockingly enough.
But but that's you making a distinction between us and them, you fascists.
God's sake.
You can see how, like, this entire thing is utterly incoherent.
I'm surprised his brain hasn't leaked out of his ear at this point.
But the best bit about this is when you ask the communities in which all of these crimes are happening, do you want more police or fewer police? They always go more.
Yeah.
More police. More
obviously.
Police. And so every old black woman is an old black man is a fascist because they want more police.
The best video is the 2011 London riots where that mum goes down, recognises her son in the crowd and starts hitting him over the head, pulling the mask off and dragging him off home.
Oh, that mum's a fascist.
Yeah.
He's in need of policing. The next one is sexual anxiety, which I thought was a strange way to frame this, because the description is, we support and protect the family. They are deviant and threatening.
They being nonces.
Yes, they being drag queen story hour.
Yeah, we're literally singing, we're coming for your children, and they're grabbing their costumed crotches.
Yeah, and if you support and protect the family, well, you're a Nazi. Congratulations. Anyway, moving on. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I find this a bit of a strange title.
You're because, speaking my language.
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah were both degenerate cities that were destroyed by God. But the framing is a dichotomous one. So you've got, we come from the rural heartland, the backbone of the nation, they live in cities. And it's like, okay, Sodom and Gomorrah is not really the right way of framing it. But okay, whatever. Right. They live in cities. Well, I mean, there's a reason that I refer to them as the urban youth, because they do live in cities.
Yeah.
This is where all the crimes are happening.
Well, so do you. You're the laptop class.
Yes.
So you're facilitating this national fall.
You live at the top of the high rise in the city, and you're not on the streets in certain neighborhoods in the cities. But again, if we just look at Hitler's FBI crime statistics, we can see the locale. I mean, there's a website that tracks shootings in Chicago.
Hmm.
And so on any given weekend, there are like 50 shootings in Chicago. And it's always particular certain districts. It's not the sort of rural suburbs of Chicago. Yeah. That's not where the shootings are happening. It's always a particular inner city areas. And it's like, well, is it fascism or is it what's really happening? The next one, you've got to finish on a Nazi thing, haven't you?
Oh,
Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. That means they are lazy and undeserving. We are hardworking.
That's genuinely almost identical to the Smithsonian's whiteness thing, where it says being on time and working hard and the Protestant work ethic are white.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree with the presupposition that black people are all lazy.
Yep.
Sorry. I mean, Ben Carson. Hello.
Well, you get lots of them. But again, you're trying to make distinctions between groups of black people.
Yeah.
You know, between types of black. That's fascism. Yeah. Distinguishing between people who work hard and people who are just welfare recipients and who shoot each other in the street while dealing drugs. That's what a Nazi does.
There's a little story in Ursula Le Guin's The Laugh of Heaven, and there's this psychologist who's trying to rationally plan a utopian society by using his patient's ability to dream the world into being.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to get rid of racism, prejudice, discrimination. It makes everyone completely grey, but there's no discrimination anymore, except there are disease cops who walk around on the street. So as soon as you have a deformity, they screen you for cancer and shoot you.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So you're always going to have some kind of classification, which some people can interpret as inferior or superior, but it's the interpretation that's wrong if it's an immutable characteristic. It's not the fact that there's difference.
Yeah, the it would require the absolute homogenization of the human race to erase any kind of prejudice or distinction between each other.
Yeah.
Is that desirable?
Not it's in disinteresting.
Any way, it's not in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, the summary of this is that Jason is not speaking from within. Sorry, I forgot to bring up the welfare statistics. But again, you can just see from the welfare statistics who's working hard and who's taking the gibs. Don't know what to tell you. But anyway, just in summary, Jason is pathologizing the concerns of conservatives as fascism. And this will not make conservatives hate the family or hate hard work. What it'll do is clean up fascism's image by making it seem respectable, actually, which is really silly. But also, when you go through that list, what you could also do is flip the whole thing and realize these are the desires of communism.
Mm.
You know, everything that he's criticizing the fascists for being concerned about, if you flip that around, well, that's actually what the communists want. They want to destroy the family. They want Sodom and Gomorrah. They want the end to law and order. They want to be considered to be victims. They want destruction of hierarchies. They want unreality. They want anyone to be anything at any time. They are promoters of Marxism, liberalism, and feminism. They use propaganda. And of course, they think we should begin at year zero. So,
if you appreciated that segment from the podcast at the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as Carl's fantastic and wonderful speech, The Word in the Shire, that he gave at the Witten. You'll find out what else he's putting out. You can follow him on Getter, of course, at Carl Benjamin on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.